Just look at the fucking bums you hang around with.
What is nothing?
Yeah, that's deep.
What in the fuck are we doing here?
Free socks.
What is something?
That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro. I am your host, Christina P. Thank you for downloading this episode. I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving week. We're done. We did one holiday down, and then we got the other, the big one that America ramps up for. You know, Christmas. Oy. Okay, but before that, come see me perform stand-up comedy live January 12th, 2018 in Pasadena at the Ice House Comedy Club, February 2nd and 3rd, Salt Lake City, Utah at Wise Guys Comedy Club, February 23rd, one show, one night only at the Calusa Casino in Calusa, California, March 30 and 31st, Portland, Oregon, Helium Comedy Club. That's 2018 so far. It's not a lot, but exciting things cooking already for 2018. And, you know, eventually I'll be able to tell you guys all about it, but that's all for now. Very cool. So tickets are at ChristinaPOnline.com. That's ChristinaPOnline.com. Follow me on Instagram. I think I'm, what am I, the real Christina P or something ridiculous like that? Because someone else was named. No, I'm the Christina P. And then on Twitter, at Christina P. Very good. All right. I hope you guys have started your Christmas shopping. Do it early, for goodness sake. And I have a great recommendation for a gift, and that would be Cameron Hughes wine. I absolutely love Cameron Hughes wine. I will tell you why. They deliver it to your house. We know mommy likes that. And these wines are fantastic because they're hand-selected, right? This guy, Cameron Hughes, hand-select the best wines from these wineries and basically repackages them and sells them to you at a much better rate than what you're going to buy with some fancy schmancy label. And I got a wonderful assortment of Cameron Hughes wines for my Thanksgiving dinner, and it was an absolute hit. I'm telling you, even the wines that I don't normally like, I'm not a huge Cabernet lover. For me, it's just sometimes too strong. I absolutely love the Cabernet from Cameron Hughes. Chardonnay too. I'm not a huge Chard drinker, but I am with Cameron Hughes wine. I have not had a dud yet. So here's a very special offer. It's a Cyber Week deal just for you. This deal is insane and just in time for all those holiday parties you will need wine for. This week and this week only, it is a Cyber Week only amazing offer. Get ready. It's 30% off any wine and free shipping on a case and free gift bags on your order. Holy cow. That sounds awesome. It's the best deal of the year, but it is this week only, and this offer ends Friday and the wine won't last. I absolutely love this wine, and this offer is so amazing that you must go online and buy it now. It's a no-brainer to try these phenomenal wines right now. You get up to an additional 30% off and free shipping 1 week only. The offer expires at midnight Friday, December 1st. So you can only get up to 30% off and free shipping if you use my code BRO at checkout. Here's what you're going to do. Go to chwine.com. That's chwine.com. You're going to shop for amazing award-winning luxury wines. You're going to enter my special code BRO. That's right, my special code BRO, and you're going to get any wine for 30% off and free shipping. Go online today, chwine.com, and enter code BRO. Don't wait. This offer is only available until midnight, Friday, December 1st. This wine will sell out fast, especially with this incredible offer. A really good deal, and I'm telling you, it is fantastic. I haven't had a dud. They're so good. Cameron Hughes wine. This episode of That's Deep Bro is also sponsored by FabFitFun. I absolutely love FabFitFun. It's a seasonal subscription box for busy women like myself to discover brands and products for a life well-lived. It's more than just a beauty sample box. FabFitFun delivers a mix of full-size fashion, beauty, home, fitness, and wellness products to your door 4 times a year for just $49.99 a box. I'm telling you, I'm very sparse in what I spend my money on. And what I absolutely love about FabFitFun is that you get a box of these like luxury items delivered to your front door and you feel like super stylish. You feel like the coolest girl in town because you get all these wonderfully, I got an eyeshadow, Freematic Eyeshadow Pro Palette. The brand is called, I think, Duce, D-O-U-C-C. I don't know how to pronounce these things, but I do enjoy wearing them. Retail value $70. It came in my FabFitFun box, and I am absolutely obsessed with these eyeshadows. And I would never buy this stuff for myself in real life, but for $49.99 per box, you get that. I got a beautiful choker. I got this exfoliating treatment by Exfolicate is the brand. Again, $75 exfoliating cream. I would never buy for myself, but as part of this FabFitFun box, it's like a luxury item and I just absolutely love it. And they have this wonderful mineral hand cream with dead sea water. I know it sounds weird, but it makes your hands so soft. And I swear to God, I put it on at night and the next morning I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's just fantastic. It also came with a lovely designer poncho. You're just going to love it. I say get it for the women in your life. If you're looking for the perfect gift, why not get them FabFitFun? I just adore it. So it's a seasonal subscription box delivered 4 times a year. You get over $200 worth of products for $49.99. You can use my promo code for $10 off your first box. So that's $39.99 for over a $200 value. Go to FabFitFun.com to subscribe. Sign up to get your FabFitFun box today. Go to FabFitFun.com and use promo code BRO for $10 off your first box. That's over $200 value for just $39.99. Again, go to FabFitFun.com. Use my code BRO to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Thank you, FabFitFun. Guys, you know I'm a comedian by trade, but the reality is I am a professional traveler. That's what I do. I spend a lot of time researching the places I'm going to be staying. And did you know that the average family visits 5 websites before booking a vacation rental? You can spend less time planning your next trip and more time relaxing with Tripping.com, the world's number one site for vacation rentals. Whether you're looking for a cabin to get away for New Year's Eve, planning your next beach vacation in Hawaii, or that vacation in Europe where you'll live like a local, Tripping.com can help you find the perfect place to stay. Vacation rentals offer flexibility, perks, and amenities that hotels don't, like multiple bedrooms, backyards, hot tubs, free Wi-Fi, and even fully stocked kitchens. So you can have a quick bite on the go or plan and cook your own meals. Great for families and large groups. I agree. I did this many years ago, actually. When I traveled through Europe, I stayed in a vacation rental, and I think it's so much more authentic of an experience, and you get amenities like they're saying, a kitchen, and you can cook, and I think it's more of an authentic experience, definitely. And with Tripping.com, one search lets you filter and compare over 10 million available properties on trusted sites like VRBO, TripAdvisor, Booking.com, and more. So basically, Tripping.com filters through all that stuff to bring you the best deals. So don't wonder if you're getting the best deal. You'll save an average of 18% per night by booking your vacation with Tripping.com. So don't forget, if you want to save time and money while booking the perfect vacation rental for your next trip, head to Tripping.com/bro today. That's right. Tripping.com/bro. Tripping.com/bro. Check it out. You're going to save up to 18% per night, guys. All right. Let's get to the show. I'm feeling a little goth today. I'm going to do Tones on Till.
Something for nothing. too much to soon. I'm so damn sick of your stupid rules. Give him something for nothing. Give him too much to soon. I'm so damn sick of your stupid rules.
On tail. That song's like 20 minutes long. I can't do it. I love that song. I like the lyrics to that, right? Give me something for nothing. Give me too much too soon. And then he talks about why do we only get what we want when we don't want to know more? Oh, right? And isn't that like the big Buddhist thing? Like the minute you stop wanting for something, you actually get it. And I found that to be so true over and over again, right? In relationships, especially like when you're looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's like the minute you take off that wanting cologne, it's like people are just attracted to you. And I think it's in the semantics of it, right? Like, why do we only get what we want when we don't want it no more? I think it's because the lack of the want. You're in a state of wanting versus a state of being. Oh, right? That's what that means. It just means you're where you're operating from, where your frequencies are. And if you're operating out of the vibration of like, I want, I want, I want, that's like repellent, man. That's so fucking gross. But when you operate out of like, I am, I already am. I already am, and I deserve, and I am, and you see what happens. Anyways, hi guys, very deep week. Woo, I got a lot of lots going on. I almost did not record today's episode because so much shit is good stuff is going on. I should not call it shit, but it's been a very nutty week with the holiday and just a lot of great business things happening. I'm going to New York this week to do some press for Mother Inferior on Netflix. It's streaming now in case you haven't watched my comedy special. Check it out. And I'm going to do the Howard Stern wrap-up show this week. Oh my gosh. I'm a huge, huge fan of Howard Stern since I was 13 years old. And I used to work in my dad's forklift shop in the summers. And I was so bored. I would be answering his phones. I didn't work on forklifts. I just answered his phones and did filing and mailing and faxing. Remember that? Back in the day when there's fax machines, I would answer faxes. And I was so fucking bored, man. I mean, I don't think there's anything more boring to a 13 or 14 year old kid than answering calls. It's so funny that he would let me answer, now that I think about it, his forklift business. Like, he would let me answer his business calls. And I would get questions like, do you guys have pallet jacks? And I have to be like, please hold. And I have to go find my dad somewhere. Either he was like fixing a forklift or he was out in the field somewhere fixing forklifts, and call him and be like, dad, do we have pallet jacks? Yes. Okay, great. Now hold on. And then get back. Yes, we have pallet jacks. Nissan or Honda or whatever. Fuck, I don't know. You guys have propane forklifts? You got propane or you have electric? I'm like, oh my God. So by the end of the first summer, obviously I knew the difference between a propane forklift and an electric forklift. And I knew what a pallet jack was, but it took a while. And I was so goddamn bored in between answering phone calls. And I had nobody to talk to, so I started listening to the radio. And this was back in the day when Howard was on, like, I think 97.1. And he had that great morning slot, like the 7 to 11 or something crazy like that. And then after his show, I just loved his show. I loved it because it was the first time anybody talked like a human being. And I loved his sense of humor, clearly. And then I'd be so bummed when his show ended because it meant the rest of my day would be spent listening to, like, just dog shit radio people doing nonsense, right? Like, hey, chunky and fartfish or whatever stupid, you know, flapjack and the hammer. Like, what? Why are you doing that? So I think even at that age, I kind of realized how amazing Howard Stern was and how stupid that shit was. So it's a huge privilege for me and honor to do the wrap-up show. I'm not even doing the main show. I'm just stoked to do, like, the wrap-up show and talk fan talk with people in New York City. And I'm doing that on this coming Thursday. So that's pretty rad. But I want to talk to you guys this week about going outside of your comfort zone. Because I've had this epiphany this week. Because these wonderful opportunities have been coming to me, and I've been taking them and trying things and growing and evolving and changing. And I came to the conclusion that, you know, unless it's painful in a way, and unless it's uncomfortable, and unless you're unsure at times and you're freaked out, if you're not freaked out, you're not doing life right every now and then. And it came to me as this thing of, like, how scared we all are of going outside of our comfort zones, right? But it's like such a necessary part of becoming the next person you're going to be, the next incarnation of you. Because I hate to break it to you, but as humans, we don't want things to change, right? We want to stay the same. We want everything to be comfortable. And that's normal, but hey man, Parmenides, no man steps in the same river twice, meaning everything is in flux, everything is in change. Is that Parmenides or Heraclitus? Heraclitus was fire, Parmenides, I don't fucking know. But the idea being that we're in constant flux, we're in constant change. And I know that our culture, our ridiculous PC culture that we're in right now, which isn't really benefiting anybody. Anyway, we don't like to say that things are hard. We like to call them challenges. I find this challenging, right? That's the corporate speak for, hey man, this is fucking hard and I'm not sure I can do this and I'm full of anxiety and I'm nervous and I don't know if my abilities can handle something, right? Because that's what that is. When some opportunity presents itself and you can either go, fuck yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw myself in. You can also go, yeah, I'd love to do this, but I am just terrified. I have no idea how to do this. I don't know. I'm not going to do it perfectly. So that's part of the perfectionism in me, right? I'm going to want to stop myself short of doing it because I don't want to fail, right? That's my personal hang up. I don't know what yours is, but I struggle very much with perfectionism. But right, and I think it's really annoying when they're challenges. We call them challenges, and that implies that, you know, you should always have like this perfect positive attitude going into things, and that you'll always prevail because we're winners. All the Americans are winners, and it's just stupid because I think that the truth of it is that so many people who have done so much did it under not ideal circumstances, did it under extreme mental suffering and anguish. Abraham Lincoln suffered severe depression, and despite that, was a pretty great president. I love when people say, well, I have kids, I can't do this or that. Well, Phyllis Diller had, I think, 5 children, and became in my opinion, the most successful female comedian to date. The first, definitely. She got to Carnegie Hall in 4 years. Crazy. You know, you do these things in spite of, it's not like you're ever ready to do something. You're never perfectly ready. Actually, no, that's not true. That's not true. Because when you're not in the state of wanting things, right, you're in the state of being the thing, the receptor of the thing that you desire. And that's because you are kind of ready for it, right? These opportunities come when you're ready. Things present themselves to you when you're in a state to receive them. And when they don't, it seldom works out, right? I've seen it in my business fucking countless times where like some comic wins the lottery and they get pushed to the front of the line. And where are they now, right? You can look back to a lot of people that won some, you know, comedy game shows. And where are those careers? Now, some people did go on to become massively successful, but then those people already had put in years and years of work is what I'm trying to say. It's there are no shortcuts to this stuff. But I think there is a necessary level of uncomfortability that goes with getting the things you want in life. And whether it be a relationship, losing weight, or you know, the career, the money, whatever the fuck it is, it takes tolerating uncomfortability, sometimes on a physical level. I mean, sometimes the point of, you know, cutting back on your treats and your goodies so that you can afford to live, excuse me, comfortably. But more emotionally, it's a state of mind. And I was thinking this stuff because my husband headlined the Wiltern Theater here in Los Angeles last night. As I record this, this is Sunday. And the Wiltern Theater historically, I think, is for me, the venue in Los Angeles. I mean, growing up here, I've seen countless shows at this theater. And the fact that my husband sold it out last night, I was like, you got to be shitting me. Like, to see somebody who I'm so close to and who I've seen literally, I mean, I've known Tommy from the time he was an open micer. I mean, I probably saw like his third comedy show. Like, that's how long I've known him and how I've been close to him and watched him and watched him progress and succeed. And I mean, last night I couldn't believe it that like, dude, this is what people are capable of. Like, this is a level of achievement that it's possible. And he did it. And, you know, and I watched him and I watched how he's done it and the level of stuff you put up with and you persevere and you continue, the amount of resilience it takes to accomplish great things. Excuse me. Great things and also smaller things. I mean, I know a lot of people are dealing in my world with fertility issues. And even that takes a level of resilience to be like, oh God, that's devastating. Okay, let's try this again. But that is unfortunately the key to getting the stuff you want is resilience and picking yourself up and trying again. And I really goddamn wish that there was a class that taught children this. And I, you know, they're doing it all wrong in school. I got to tell you, all the crap that I learned in Catholic school, the meek inherit the earth, bullshit. That is the stupidest thing I have heard. Because the last time I saw it was a bunch of white guys that own the earth, not the meek. Turning the other cheek is probably the stupidest advice too I've ever heard in my life. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of backwards stuff they teach you to keep you in line. And you got to undo all that programming to become, I think, to become a self-actualized person. You know, you just have to think for yourself. This is all I've learned, guys. I'm not telling you how to live your life. You know, I'm just telling you what I've seen, what I've witnessed. And like, dude, I'm telling you, man, what they teach you is bullshit. And the real, it's not, no one's holding you down, man. It's you holding you down. It's always you versus you. It's always you versus you. I had a situation this week where a great opportunity came up and I had to prepare for something. And it's something I'm not very great at. Let's just say that. And I enlisted the help of a really good friend and she helped me prepare. And the whole time I was like, oh God, this is terrible. I'm terrible at this. I don't know what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought to myself, well, what if for a minute I just surrendered to the thought of not being perfect at this thing? And what if I just stretched a little bit out of my comfort zone and didn't care so much about the outcome and just existed in that space? And the minute I kind of gave myself permission to just dwell in the space of the thing I wanted to become, lo and behold, that's when the magic happens, right? The minute you stop resisting the change and resisting what's happening to you, I think that's when really good shit starts to happen to you. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I was thinking about. Oh, and also the whole do what you love thing, I think a lot of people throw that around in the self-help world. And it's a good thing to say, but I think it's been said so frequently that it's so empty and meaning, like just do what you love and everything will work out. Well, A, that's not always true. I've seen people, quote, doing what they love and they fail at it a lot. And not because doing what you love won't equal a paycheck eventually. It's because it's do what you love and work your fucking tits off and be resilient and eat shit a lot and be poor for a while and keep hustling and keep moving and don't let yourself get beaten and broken down. So that's why that's what I see lacking in the self-help world of like, just do what you love and you'll make $1 million. Not entirely, but here's where doing what you love, I think, fits in. And what I've seen over and over and over in successful people, successful comedians, I will just limit it to that because that's my world. Because if you love what you do, it acts as this wonderful, magical motivator, right? Because the shit hits the fan a lot, and it will hit the fan a lot when you're, trying to do something creative and you're trying to become the person you want to be, right? It's never an easy road. It's never, the yellow brick road was fraught with turmoil and disaster and, you know, friends. And so the yellow brick road is it's winding, right? But if you love it, if you love the path, if you love the torture, you have to love the hard bits of the thing you're pursuing. Because if you don't love the process of just the thing that you're doing, you won't be motivated to continue. Okay. And that's, I think I've heard that shit so much. Just love what you do. Like, oh, come stop it. That's not enough. It's love what you do. But the love has to be the foundation for, I think, true success for long term. And by the way, another thing I've learned is that it is a marathon, folks. I mean, like I said, I've seen some shortcuts. But as far as I know, the real dealers out there, the big ones, it doesn't happen overnight. Those overnight successes, they take about 2 decades, roughly, to be overnight successes. Yeah. So there you go. You got to be tough, guys. I hate to say it, but just fucking be tough. You got to be tough. You got to fight. You got to fucking fight. That's another thing they don't teach you in school, is to be resilient and to fight and come back and try again and get in the fucking ring, man. All right. Let's do some emails. Where's my, here's my, hold on. I haven't played my email cue in like, and forever. We need Dan Pena.
You want to know why you're all fucked up?
Okay. This email I got, I love it because it's just a very practical email. And Lord knows I have made my mistakes along the impractical journey of becoming a stand-up comedian. So I wanted to wanted to address this. I'm not going to use this person's name, but they write, "Hey, Tina, I've been at my job at blank. It's a retail place for almost 2 years now, and I hate it. I used to be the slacker and never did any work, and I hated it then. So I've been making a huge effort, got my life, and became a top salesman at my store. I stuck around extra when we were short-staffed, sometimes closing the entire store myself, a five-person job with no complaints. And I still feel about as appreciated as I did when I did jack shit for 8 hours a day. Nobody cares about me. It's obvious. It's fucking retail. Of course, they don't. I know this. It's becoming clearer and clearer to me that though I do have some coworkers who are great friends and I love dearly, this shit ain't worth it. My current plan is this. I just got benefits, health insurance, full dental vision. I need a shoulder surgery, physical therapy, new glasses, some dental work. Let's have the company pay for this. And when I return after my recovery period from surgery, I put in my 2 weeks notice. Fuck them. Lately, I've been wondering if I should just jump ship. It's the holidays. It's a crazy stressful time for everyone in retail. I'm starting to feel like I'm losing my shit. Do I quit now and save myself the mental anguish, or do I stick it out, get that extra commission, and have these scumbags pay for my much needed surgery? It's only a 3 to 4 month period. There's always going to be a job for me somewhere. There's always going to be more money, but I don't know if the extra few months of misery are going to be worth the free dental work and glasses and surgery. What do you think, Gene? Bite the bullet for a while or cut and run. Find something I'm not miserable doing and deal with the shoulder issues. Thanks for your time. You're my favorite." Okay. Now, my love, first of all, I must commend you. What I really liked about this email is that you started this job as what you say, a slacker, and you never did work and you hated it. You hated it when you were shitty at it, but then you turned your stuff around. You got your life. You became a top salesperson. I mean, you ended up closing the store by yourself with a five. That's crazy. I mean, I think that shows a real growth in character and a real growth as a human being. And that's exactly what I'm talking about with resilience and stick throughing it and the sticking through of things and motive. Like, that's fantastic. And I just want to commend you on that because I never did that. I always would. And here's where my advice would come into you, because I made these mistakes so many times in my 20s, is that I would quit a job and I would not only burn the bridge, I would fucking light up the building. I would burn the building down. And then I would, like, you know, take out an ad in LA Weekly talking about how I did it. So what I'm saying is, don't be an idiot like I was. I've worked in retail too, so I totally understand the holidays are the worst. I have so much empathy for anybody who works in retail between like October and the new year, or who works in any service industry job, you know, whether you're waiting tables or just dealing with the public. God bless you, because I mean, oh, it's so hard. I used to work at a retail clothing store that no longer exists called the May Company. And I just remember Christmas rolling around and people coming in to try on clothes, and they would just throw the clothes on the floor in a ball, just a massive mountain of these beautiful, brand new quality clothes, just, you know, thrown down like a fucking turd on the ground. And it was my job and my friend's job at the end of the day, you know, to clean out all these stalls and hang up all these clothing. And it was worse, way worse along the holidays, because people are just, so many people come through there, I think, and they have no regard for your life, or that someone's going to fucking fold that shirt again, asshole. Like, I'm so cognizant of it when I go to the Gap or wherever, and like, I pick up a shirt and I like open it and I unfold it to look at it. I'm immediately I go, "Oh God, someone's got to get the folding board out and refold that thing for me. Oh God, I'm so sorry." Like, I get it, dude. It's just so, anyways, I think that's really awesome that you took a situation that you started out as a slacker and you became basically a star employee. And I'm sorry that this company does not value you as such. Here's what I would do, actually, if I were you. You seem to have become a star employee. And is there a time that your review comes up? Is it anytime soon? I would ask for a raise before the holidays. I don't know if you can do that, but I don't know. I'd ask for more money, first of all, just to make this period of 3 to 4 months. Because yes, you should stick it out. Number one, jump and ship right now. It'll feel good for like a week. And then the realization that, A, I have no job will sink in. B, my shoulder's messed up. I still need dental work and vision work done. And how am I going to pay for that? So you're talking about the temporary relief of quitting something that is horrendous during the holidays, which I totally understand, versus sticking it out for 3 to 4 months, making it bearable, and getting what you need out of a company that has certainly gotten what they needed out of you, and more. Now, here's what you can do. Since you are going to jump ship eventually, do you have to work so much over the holidays? You got any sick time? Look, you know you're going to jump ship. Do you have to jump ship with a stellar record? I don't know. I'm an asshole. So I would like take days off and get close to getting fired, basically. Is there a way to weasel out of working so much over the holidays? I would suggest that. Isn't that horrible? I'm such a horrible human. But at any rate, I know, because my thinking is you're just going to leave anyways. Who cares if they don't give a shit? But then again, if you work somewhere else, you want the recommendation that you were a stellar employee, blah, blah, blah. So maybe do your job the way you've always been doing it. Suck it up. Be a good soldier. Get your body taken care of. And then leave and get a great recommendation from this company that you gave 2 years of your life to. And leave healthy and leave with your reputation and your resume intact. So actually don't take my advice about calling in sick a bunch. But why not? Why not take a vacation during the holidays? You know what I'm saying? And here's what I might suggest to you too, my love, is that you've turned your life around. You've become a winner. You've become the kind of person that other companies might want to hire. Companies, you know, that maybe not retail. Maybe it's time to think. In terms of, I don't know if this is your full-time gig, but I'm guessing if you're closing the store, you're like a manager. I don't know. Anyway, I'd start thinking about big picture stuff in my life as well, because it sounds to me like you're a fucking winner and this company did not appreciate you. So while you're taking your 3 or 4 months, think about the next move. Think about maybe in the new year, come January. Now is not the time, but applying for new places, asking people, you know, about their jobs, where they work, and seeing if there's something out there that might be more fulfilling for you, because this retail is fucking hard. I mean, unless you're telling me like, man, I love retail. I want to manage like this clothing store or this, whatever the store, I'd be like, oh, well then yeah, go be a manager, but maybe go work at a company that values their employees a bit more. Cause it doesn't sound like this place does. But good for you, man. Yeah. Go get your life. If it's one thing, the corporate America, they don't take care of people anymore. Those days are done where the company took care of people. It's very fucking sad. It's very sad. It's just so disgusting. It really is disgusting, you know, and especially as somebody, we employ a nanny and we take such good care of her. Cause like, how can you not? I mean, these people, whatever. I can't stomach it. I can't stomach when they don't take care of people that help build their empire. You know what I mean? Like, okay. All right. You're already paying the poor fool minimum wage. Like, god damn. Well, at least you got benefits, man. At least you got the benefits. All right. I gotta stop breathing in the microphone like Top Dog. This next one is from Vanessa. I like this one too. I'm not sure why. Do I like this one? Okay. Dear Christina, it's 3 a.m. I can't sleep and my mind is just rambling about the sticky situation I'm in. And honestly, I know what I need to do about it and I want to do it. I just feel like if I sit here and preach and talk about the subject as a whole, I could be more proactive in practicing what I preach. Too bad I'm only 19. About to turn 20 on Christmas, and no one I know cares about the thing I do or feels so intense about them. I kind of want to start a podcast. When I think about it, I feel dumb and think about how most people I know would make fun of me. But screw that. those people think they're the reason why I need to talk about this in a microphone, because they don't care to hear what positive, healthy things I have to say. They just sit on Twitter or Instagram scrolling through the same old ignorant high school stuff. I just want to express myself. Journaling so much makes my hands cramp. I'm too lazy to type or make a blog, and I just really, really enjoy podcasts. I have no idea how to start or what to do. Please help. Okay. I just want it to be amazing for me to be able to express myself. I need some help getting into all and starting and some tips from you. Okay. So you're young. You're 19. You're about to turn 20. I remember this age. I remember feeling the same way of like, oh, I have so much shit inside of me and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Do I paint? Do I journal? I did everything. I journaled. I painted. I drew. I fucking collaged. I did it all. Smoked cigarettes. I went to goth clubs. I think this is a very tenderoni age. You're at a time where you're, you know, there's so much going on. You're very emotional. This is from Vanessa. You're very emotional. Your friends don't always get you. It's just a tumultuous time. And I get it. You want to express yourself. Here's what I'll say to you is that you're at an age where, other people are going to make fun of you because they're kids. They're young. They're not bad people. They're just young people. And they can say shitty things to you. So you can fucking start a podcast. Of course, anybody can. It's you know, Google it. How do I do a podcast? There's a million websites that'll tell you what you need to do, what software you buy. I mean, fuck, you got an Apple computer, you can do a podcast. But if you want to do a podcast, I will say this, is that think of a general theme. You know, I don't think that just rambling into a microphone about your feelings about, you know, you can do it. It just has to be under the framework of, right? Because that's kind of what I do, but it's also under the framework of like, well, what is it for? How does it help people? You know, if it's all about me, 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 that's kind of like, okay. I mean, unless you're like the most fascinating human being I've ever heard in my life, generally, you know, come on, not many people can do that. You want to think of a topic. You want to think of a lane. What interests you? Are you interested in penguins? Are you interested in sex? Are you interested in movies? Are you interested in music? What's the framework? Pick a topic and then have somewhat of a format. And also, you know, make it an hour. Is it a half hour? You may want to start just doing a half hour. See how that feels. And it'll take time. I think it takes time to find your voice and what's going to work for you as a podcaster. And don't expect too much, I think, in the beginning, because it takes time. It takes time to build an audience and it takes time to build a show. It's a process. But it sounds like you got a lot of angst, man. You're up. I would call it the up at 3 a.m. podcast. I would call it because judging by how you're writing and what you're talking about, dude, if I were you, I call it up at 3 a.m. or 3 a.m. thoughts. And it's like the diary of a 20-year-old, a 19 girl. Oh, there's this band called The Drop 19s. Oh, there's a song called Kick the Tragedy where it's this girl who's rambling about being 19. And I used to listen to it when I was 19. Anyway, it reminds me of that song, Kick the Tragedy by The Drop 19s. And it's exactly that. It's 3 a.m. I'm up and I'm rambling. And maybe you should do your podcast at 3 a.m. just to be authentic every week. And talk about the drama of being 20. You know, I would definitely leave out particulars. I would leave out real people's identity and names just so that you don't get into a whole lot of trouble. By the way, you do not have to take my suggestion as to what your podcast is about. I just think it would be fucking cool. See, that's the show I would listen to. I would be like, oh my God, how cute. Like, this girl does her show at 3 a.m. and she's 20 years old. And like, I want to remember what it's like to think the way a 20-year-old does, you know? Yeah. And be like, what are my problems right now? You know, like, oh my God, I can't believe so-and-so didn't ask me to the dance. I'm just kidding. That's not 20. 20 is way more angst ridden. Oh my gosh. I was practically suicidal at 20. 20 is the worst. I hate when people are like, this is the best year of your life. 20 are the best. Like, no, they're not. They're the worst. They're the worst. I mean, you look amazing, but your life is just usually in shambles. I mean, you're hot, but that's like the universe's way of compensating you for just the horrible life that you lead in your 20s. Because everything's so uncertain and you don't know what the heck you're doing. You're not an adult until 28. Did you know that? 28 now is the official age that the brain is fully formed and fully, becoming an adult brain. So you're still like a kind of an adolescence when you're at this age. So be cognizant of that, my love, if you can, at the time that, you know, hey, there are people that will listen to this, and rest assured, whoever you don't want to listen to your podcast will listen to your podcast. It is just like porn. I don't know if you've ever heard Tara Patrick talk about being a porn star, but she said this thing once in this interview. She goes, if you're ready to do porn, just know that everybody in the world is going to see it. Your stepdad, your preacher, your best friend from kindergarten, everybody will see what you're doing. So be prepared for that. Okay. I mean, on the other hand, I will, because you're putting yourself out there in a big way when you're starting a podcast. It is not for the meek, my love. If you absolutely certain that's your route, well, give it a try. Why the fuck not? You got one life to live. Take a swing at it, bro. Okay. Let me see. This is from Corrado. Corrado. I like that name. I've never heard that name. Corrado. From Toronto. Oh, I loved Toronto, as my grandmother used to say. I live in Toronto, Canada. I've T-Dot's the best. Okay. My name is Corrado and I'm from Toronto. I was wondering if you ever felt like the outsider in your group of friends. It feels like no one really cares if I'm there or not. It really feels like no one cares at all. My girlfriend says it's all in my head, but the thought that no one really cares about me consumes my mind. I feel like I can't say something because I don't want to seem weak or make things weird. How do you stop overthinking and getting too much inside your head? Okay, Corrado, have I felt like an outsider? Yes, I have. And I think it was at a time where my friends were doing things I just wasn't interested in. You know, it was like a phase in my 20s, I think, where they were just focused on partying still. And I was starting to get very serious about comedy and like what my life was going to look like. I was starting to get focused on my life. So at least for me, I know it was just because I think I was growing away from those people. And that could be what's happening here. I don't know. But it sounds like you're afraid that no one cares about you. And your girlfriend sounds really sensitive, by the way. she says, it's all in your head, man. Snap out of it. How do I stop overthinking? You know what I would do, my love, Mr. Corrado, is that I would say something to a friend. Honestly, I'd be like, I feel disconnected. I wouldn't say to somebody, hey, you don't care about me. But I would say like, hey, I don't feel like we're connecting right now. Like, is everything cool? Maybe that's a good way to open up the dialogue. And then you can express some vulnerability to people. I mean, I don't know your personality. I don't know. Maybe you are neurotic. Maybe you are overthinking. I don't know. But chances are, you have a girlfriend, so you know how to be close to somebody. Chances are you're okay with relationships and things. I don't know. I would express it to somebody, to a sympathetic person in the group of friends. Don't pick the most callous person. Pick the person you feel the closest to and bring this up with them and see what they say. And if their response is shitty, like, fuck you, bro, or whatever, then yeah, maybe you're not in a good group of friends. However, I do think it's normal to be connected and then not so connected to friends too, right? You guys go through different seasons. Sometimes people go through their own stuff. And sometimes we take that personally. It's not nothing to do with you. It could be just what they're going through. But I think the key is to express yourself to people and figure out what's really happening and listening to them. And listening to what their response is. Because a lot of times we project onto other people what we think is happening, and it's not necessarily the case. So your girlfriend might be like, hey man, this is all in your mind. And it very well could be all in your mind, because maybe you're feeling disconnected to yourself, right? And instead you go like, they don't care about me. Maybe the truth is, I don't care about me.
You know, are you taking care of yourself? Do you feel like there's something going on that you're not addressing? That could be the problem too. Do you need to get your life? Do you need to go see a shrink? Maybe that's what's happening, you know? Because a lot of times I feel disconnected too when I'm disconnected from myself. That's usually what's going on. When I'm in turmoil, then my relationships kind of go there too. Because, right, the outside is a reflection of the inside. Oh my God. Okay. Oh, I wanted to give an update of... hold on. I wanted to give this update. I'm so excited about her. Hold on. So, oh my gosh, this was one of the most, this was one of the hardest emails I ever had to, I was like really struggling with it. Before I go here, I also got an email a while back that I have not answered and I apologize. And it was about a girl who was being sexually abused by her brother. And she's still in contact with him, blah, and it's not very good, and what should she do? And I spoke to a therapist about it, and my recommendation for you, and you did mention, this girl mentioned in an email that she had seen a therapist and it wasn't very good. Well, the reason it may not have been very good or productive is because you didn't see the right therapist, I'm thinking. And this person recommended that you see a counselor who specializes in sexual abuse, particularly incest. Excuse me. So, you know, there are therapists who specialize in certain areas of abuse, sexual or whatever it is. So I highly recommend before writing off therapy altogether, just finding the person who deals with that specific type of trauma, because that's really the secret sauce, my man. It's all about finding the right fit. It's not, you know, it's all the fit. Ugh, okay. So a few months ago, I got an email from this girl who was taking a criminal justice class with a guy who raped her. And she needed this class in order to graduate, right? And she didn't know what to do. And the advice I gave her was to go to the administration and tell them, the irony being that her rapist was in the criminal justice class with her, and that she should bring to the administration this information. And is there something we can do to work this out so that she doesn't have to sit in class with her fucking rapist every week? So this is the update for you guys who remember this episode. It says, hi, Christina. A couple months ago, I wrote to you about my rapist being in my college classes. I know how ironic it is that a criminal justice student won't utilize the process meant for this exact purpose, but it just seems so tiring to go through all of that. I never spoke to the school about the issue. I couldn't imagine talking to a stranger about it, having my teacher view me in a certain way, my rapist knowing he's still relevant, or having my personal schedule change because of him. Well, around the beginning of October, he slowly stopped coming into class. Now, a week before Thanksgiving, he doesn't show at all. He's missed so many days now that I get comfort in knowing that he's getting an F for the semester. I recently found out that he graduated high school 2 years later than I did, which is sad considering we're the same age. It seemed like a nightmare to have him in class, but there's an odd feeling of closure knowing he's still a loser. I will never know why he did what he did, and it still disgusts me that someone like him did this to me, but there's not this constant worry when I go somewhere about seeing him, and if I do, what do I do? Because it's happened. My husband deployed soon after we married in September, and we have little to no communication, so being able to type these emails to you is therapeutic. Okay, I have a month left of school before we move to Hawaii and start the next chapter in my life. Oh, great. Thank you for everything. Well, that's fantastic. So look, you know what? My apologies. I did not even take that into consideration, the how humiliating and shameful and scary it probably is to come forward. So I did not take that into consideration. So my apologies to you, M. But hey, I'm glad it worked out for you, even though, it just was like, he just stopped going, which is great. But you know what? Here's the thing too, is that maybe they wouldn't move your schedule around. Maybe they would move him around. That's another possibility. So in my mind, I was really hoping that they would screw him, not necessarily you, out of the class. But That's fantastic. And I'm so glad that you didn't have to look at that creep salad douchebag every week in school. And nobody should have to suffer that kind of trauma over and over and over again. And I do hope, and I don't remember if you said or not, I do hope that you get some sort of counseling for all of this, even for this. I think this is enough to get me back into therapy, is having to see my rapist in a class. I think even, and I know you're saying you're moving to Hawaii, a month left of school. Great. When you're in Hawaii, maybe look somebody up, maybe try to find a shrink. It might be worth it to talk to somebody about this recent trauma of seeing this fucking asshole in your class and having to deal with it over and over again. And I have a feeling, and I'm not sure, but the way that, trauma tends to work is that something else might remind you of this person or the situation again in your life. It may come up again and again. And until that trauma is dealt with, you're going to go down this, it's going to be scarier than it needs to be, is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, everyone needs to get fucking counseling for trauma. That's the point. I did Dr. Drew's podcast a couple weeks ago. And if it's anything I've learned from celebrity rehab, it's that unresolved trauma leads to all kinds of problems. Specifically in that show, in Celebrity Rehab, specifically it led to addiction for these people. I think so many people have had horrible things happen to them. And the difference is A, resilience, and B, the ability to process what's happened to you, right? Because it's very few of us that get through life completely unscathed. And it's just a matter of fucking, you know, getting help, man, getting help. And it's out there. It is out there. Sliding scale. Google it. Sliding scale. Plus your zip code. Plus the type of therapist you think you would like to see, you'd like to try, you'd like to court, you'd like to date, so to speak. Yeah. Okay. All right, guys, that's it. I'm going to go make a cauliflower pizza now with my husband and my kiddo. It is Sunday and I like to eat my Sunday treats, and for me, that is a cauliflower crust pizza. How sad is that? Because I try not to eat the carbs, man. But this cauliflower crust, that's just like the real thing. It's not at all like the real thing. It's nothing like real pizza. But I get to eat the cheese and the sauce, and that's really good too. Isn't pizza just an excuse to put sauce and cheese on something anyways? Jesus Christ. But I mean, hot dogs for me are just an excuse to put a lot of ketchup and mustard and relish on stuff. Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. Until next week, that's been Deep Bro. You may email me. That's deepbropodcast@gmail.com. Okay. Have a great week.
It's Christina P, aka Miss Jeans. This ain't your mom's house, it's a different theme. Gotta be critically thinking. Like you caught up at a cocktail party, our thoughts start to sink in. John Locke, or was it Socrates? Aristotle or Plato, maybe Hippocrates. Got us talking all properly, topically. Just a comedian discussing these philosophies. Serious questions, silly people. What's that? That's deep, bro.
It is the ultimate metaphor for life. And you know what that is?
What?
That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro.